Hey, audio listeners of the Baron Cast, Timothy Chalamet here. I wanted to stop by and say that I know I just signed a 10-movie deal with Warner Brothers, but I wanted to put in my contract that every single person that listens to the Baron Cast like and subscribe. So go ahead and do that for me and enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Variant Cast. We are back for another month of movies, TV shows, you name it. I'm here with the always turning a year older, Trent Joseph. I think his mom would be mad at me if I didn't shout out that this man is now a year older, a year wiser, and a year more tired of Hollywood. How are you doing, Trent?
Doing good. Like you said, pretty tired of not only life, but movies, because they get old, but some movies never get old. Like I just watched Ironclad for the third time, and still a great movie.
It is. Ironclad is I think still best movie of the year. Maybe we could just like force it into the Oscars this year, just to make right on that. Because, you know, if Maestro can get a Best Picture nom, like, who cares at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
But we're going to be doing a little bit of a preview of April. It is the end of March as we speak, as you're watching this. It's going to be winding down the days. Maybe we're already in April, but we're going to be going through the full movie slate of April. Anything that has any sort of gas behind it, we're going to be checking that out. And seeing if it's worth watching or not, as well as updating our Rotter Tots along the way. So this is going to be like a live draft all the way through. We're each going to be taking three Rots, three Tots. If you are new or just don't understand what the Rotter Tot thing is, it's based off Rotten Tomato scores, so we have no influence on it. And we are just drafting movies based on if they're going to be certified fresh, not certified fresh, but fresh or rotten. So currently, I got this breakdown here with the spreadsheet we got going on. I'm recording my screen right now, so we could flash it if we wanted to, but it is essentially all knotted up at 11 and 6. So both of us would be in the playoffs if this was a sports league. We'd be looking all right, but we each have six misses. I have more misses on the bad side. You're a bit more even with three misses with the bad, three misses with the good. Mm-hmm. But it is all knotted up after a pretty surprising March.
Yeah, pretty surprising. Especially what just came out last week, which was Blood and Honey 2. So after getting about a 30% on the first movie, comes in with 100% with seven reviews. So that's pretty shocking.
Yeah, it's not 30%. It's 3%.
Oh, 3%.
Yeah, so Blood and Honey, the first Blood and Honey was critically absolutely panned. It was looked at as a cash grab, something that like absolutely is not a thing that you need to watch and you shouldn't be giving their money. The tomato meter has gone down since the 100% at 7. It's at 63 now, so still fresh. We're still counting it as a loss for me, even though if I really wanted to be particular, I may, wait till the end of March, see what score it has. But nah, we're going to just go ahead and say it's fresh because I don't think anybody expected this movie to be enjoyed by anyone. An 83% audience score with over 250 ratings?
Yeah.
Is wild to me. So I'm actually going to go watch this movie. There's a 7 p.m. showing. They only show it once a day at 7 p.m. So I think I'll watch the original tonight and then see if I could get the showing tomorrow. Yeah. A nice Thursday evening.
I'll do the same. Let's do an episode on it next week.
Yeah. We'll do a whole thing on Winnie the Pooh. So if you're interested as to what this is, why it exists, how it exists, we'll be breaking all that down. I think that's a fun idea. But you had a perfect March.
Yeah.
For those that probably don't know, you went with the bad being Spaceman and Ricky Stenicki. Mm-hmm. and the good being Dune and Godzilla and Kong.
Yep. I was pretty confident in those choices, you know, with the backgrounds of each in the, you know, the franchises that both of the, my rots that are in. And then, you know, just based on the sole fact that it's a non-comedy Adam Sandler movie and,
right.
And, a comedy by the same dude that made Dumb and Dumber. It seemed like a pretty, surefire bet, but, this month we're going to be stepping up doing three movies each. So, we'll see. We'll see if I can keep that mm-hmm. perfect streak going.
Yeah. So this is also going to be the first, month that we have a draft pool to pick from. There is 14 movies that we kind of deemed the most important because, we didn't want to keep running into the issues of like me accidentally picking a movie that only has like an international release or something weird like that. Or like picking Sesame Street that just didn't exist.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, you know, my bad. So we're only going to do things with trailers and, we have those already selected. So, why don't we go ahead and just get started, Trent? We'll give you the first draft pick. In the past, we alternated Rot or Tots. Not doing that anymore. Now you have a roster that you need to fill out. Three rots and three tots. And we're going to basically just go back and forth. And if you want to pick your three rots first and then your three tots, go for it. But, you know, there might not be much left after that.
Yeah.
So, Trent, why don't you go ahead and tell us what movie you're going to be going with first? Then we're going to go ahead and watch the trailer, and then you're going to tell us if it's going to be a rot or tot.
All right.
So Trent, it is your pick first off. You're going to give us a movie, and afterwards tell us if it's a rot or tot or not.
So my movie is going to be Monkey Man, coming out this month, directed by Dev Patel. He's his directorial debut.
So Monkey Man, we're going to go ahead and turn on this trailer. If you are just an audio listener, I will be talking through it. We'll just be kind of going through and just breaking this down. So I'm go ahead and I guess we didn't really figure out we're going to play it at the same time.
It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. You could just click play.
Yeah. How about we come up with a word that means play, and I'll just have mine at 0 seconds, and then you just say whatever word that is, like
play.
No, it can't be play. It needs to be something more like a
we'll cut.
So this is Universal, yeah. Monkey Paw Productions.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this is produced by Jordan Peele as well.
Okay. Jordan Peele has a great record when it comes to movies, obviously. So it looks like... Right. Looks well shot. Looks like it's got some money behind mm-hmm. it.
It's got some good effects. I like the ambition of you know, I like the shot of him of the monkey mask. That's sick.
Right. I like bongos anytime, yeah. Ever. Like, but you can't miss with bongos. Okay. So it's basically like Spider-Man without powers.
Yeah.
It's just Monkey Man.
Little John Wick.
Little John Wick. Oh, yeah. All right, this looks fire, honestly. I think I know where this draft pick's going.
Yeah. So, I think this is a hit.
Yeah.
And for a directorial debut, I think that this looks really good.
Yeah, no, the shots look imaginative. We're seeing a few action scenes right now. Where it's definitely like, you know, some energy behind it. I like it.
A little bit of comedy in there too.
Gonna be a little humor. No, this looks sick.
Yeah, I'll definitely be seeing this. Almost looks a little Bollywood, but
yeah,
just in terms of kind of being a little bit over the top
with the music. Yeah. I think this is gonna do really well box office wise. Yeah. Like just like a surprising amount with the international and everything. Like, because I know Bollywood movies are kind of a tough sell to American audiences, but I think this very much doesn't seem like at first glance, but it still has that energy that those movies really thrive with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some freehand action scenes. Yeah. Okay. A lot of freehand. All right. Monkey Man. Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That is understandable.
And, yeah, I think that was shown at a film festival, and I think people are really liking it so far.
I can imagine. It looks like it's exactly 2 hours and 1 minute runtime, which is, I think, the best length for a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just chill and just leave it at 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Tell a story and get out of there.
Definitely.
Solid. All right. So that's the first pick. If you are looking for like an action movie this month, I think Monkey Man, from what I'm seeing, is gonna be the one. I have not really done as much research as I should have. So what I'm gonna do is I'm going to pick a movie that I'm very interested in, and pick if it's gonna be a rot or tot. Hopefully by the end of the trailer. So I'm most interested in the A24 film Civil War.
I have not seen this trailer.
So
yet.
We're gonna be what? We're gonna. This is the trailer 2. I didn't watch like the one before.
I just tried to grab the shortest one that I could find to try to have to hopefully have the less amount of plot plot details in it.
Yeah, that's the best bet. Also, like for the sake of the pod, we can't be watching 4 minute trailers.
Exactly.
I think the Monkey Man is probably the longest one. It was about 3 minutes. Yeah. Everything else is going to be shorter from here. So if you thought we were watching a trailer for too long, either put your speed to 1.5 or you made it through it. We got only 2 minutes for now. This one's one of the shorter ones. So let's go ahead and give this a. So this was obviously an A24 film that dealing with some, you know, modern events here.
Starring Kirsten Dunst and Nick Offerman.
Yeah, Nick Offerman is the president.
Looks like this is the same director as Annihilation and the horror movie Men that came out last year. Both interesting contrast. Ex Machina.
Yeah. He's really solid director. He wrote this movie as well. And he also wrote like the screenplay for Annihilation. So he's a talented guy. There's a lot of ominous shots. Like they're showing a lot of action scenes, and it looks like there's an okay budget behind it for an A24 film. Yeah. And I think A24 in general has been, you know, stepping up like they want to make blockbusters, they said. Is this the first A24 blockbuster? Coming out in spring, so not really a summer blockbuster, but this definitely looks like it has the money behind it to do that. And I think just with the talent, like, here, I gotta say this is a... I was conflicted because it could very well be a rot, because anytime you have modern politics and something, that's going to affect these critics' viewpoints. But I don't know. I can't see this movie being terrible. So I'm a take it as a tot. I also really want to watch this movie. So ideally I'm a watch all my tots in the month of April.
Yeah.
So we'll give it a shot for sure. So first two picks are both tots. I think it will probably be a bit harder to get Rots, but I'm seeing some Netflix originals in here, so maybe not. We'll
yeah.
see. It's your pick.
So I'm going to go with probably guess it, but we'll watch the trailer for Rebel Moon Part 2.
I should have just taken the gimme. All right, I am on it, and I
couldn't let you get Rebel Moon again for your Rot.
Yeah, it was a gimme.
Yeah.
So this has some money behind it. I feel like I've said that a couple times already.
Probably too much money.
This definitely does. This has way too much money behind it. It is a 3-month-old trailer, and it has 1.7 million views. Look, that is awful. Like, let's be real. Under 2 million views in 3 months for something of this production.
Yeah. Can we also talk about how this title has three two-word titles in it? Rebel Moon, Part 2, The Scar Giver.
It's a mouthful. But this looks genuinely awful. Yeah. This looks like an EA game.
This is like a... Yeah.
It looks like a video game. Not necessarily because of the effects. Like, the effects are decent. But, like, just the shots look like video game shots. The literal lightsabers, like... Why?
It's just... Nothing good to say about this.
Yeah, no, I have nothing other than just like negative, and I'm negative enough to like Zack Snyder on this. I don't need to. I guess I could just talk crap to Netflix. Like, why? Why of all the things you could throw money at, why this? Like, why don't you just what was this? $20 million? $50 million? How much did this cost? We're fact checking the budget of the Rebel Moon project. It's probably the GDP of Island Nations. $166 million.
Yep.
This made. Oh shared, my god!
I guess it does say shared with Part 1. So coming in around about $80 million.
So $80 million just for this movie, but the whole Rebel Moon project cost $160 million.
Yeah,
that's not counting marketing. Like, you could give, like, $1.5 million to 100 filmmakers that are, like, talented and have 100 movies that are way better than this. And you chose to make this. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they just thought that a Zack Snyder franchise movie would be, like, the big, like, boom, new IP, Netflix is... on top now. We're going to go ahead and open up Netflix land and go to Galaxy's Edge, Rebel
open
Moon.
Open up the floodgates, let all those Snyder bros in. Get them all in here.
Man.
So yeah, that's going to be a Rot for sure. My prediction is going to be... what was Rebel Moon 1? It was 21%. So probably about 15%. I'm going to go lower.
Yeah. You're going lower. That's, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Because unlike Dune, the first one's probably not going to get better with the second one.
I mean, the thing you have going for you is probably less critics are going to watch it.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe the critics that do watch it are super into it. Maybe. Because like those. The reason it's like 15% as the anyone watching the video sees, I got something stuck in my eye, but you know, we move because we're professionals. Like I already lost my train of thought. We're going to go ahead and go on to the next movie. I'm going to try to get a Rot here. Like I said, I haven't done too much research on these. So we're just watching them. This one looks like a Rot. It's called Sweet Dreams by Paramount Pictures. starring Johnny Knoxville, Theo Vaughn, and Bobby Lee.
An all-time cast right there. With comedy cast. Legends.
And I'm going to just this. Theo Vaughn, Challenge Champion. Make sure to check out Votes on Me, our second channel, if you are into reality TV shows and competition shows. Oh, we got Gata? Okay. This is just like a cast of people that aren't quite actors.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, and Johnny Knoxville, but yeah, even then, he's just not, yeah, he's never really quite been like an official almost actor. Yeah,
this is basically just the plot of Lady Ballers without as much bigotry. Why are they tackling each other? My problem with a lot of sports comedies in general is just like. Like, the people that enjoy sports comedies are generally people that enjoy sports. So why do they write the characters like they've never played sports before? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, the way they move and stuff? Like, why are they tackling each other in the outfield? What's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, this looks fine. Like, I don't want to be a hater. This looks fine. It's just a trailer. Yeah,
and then there's
it's got a
like
weird
yeah.
vibe. Yeah.
Like it's like the music? It seems like it's supposed to be like a upbeat, you know, lighthearted movie. That's what the sound would tell you. But then there's the jokes that say sweet
Kate Upton, another not quite actor. There's no actors in this movie.
Is this going straight to Paramount Plus? I feel like it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a week after, within a week, theatrical. It's headed to Paramount Plus.
All right, that's a rot. I'm taking Sweet Dreams as a rot.
All right, pretty surefire. Gotta pick up the pace.
Yeah, we gotta pick up the pace.
All right. My next one is going to be Sasquatch Sunset.
Sasquatch Sunset. All right, let's get it.
Surprising cast.
Sundance. Okay. Okay, okay.
Ari Aster producer credit. Made Midsommar.
I already like the cinematography.
Yeah.
I love the setting, and he gave me some big trees and some fog, and I'm like, yeah, I'm there. All right. Was not expecting that. For the audio listeners, this trailer just was some Bigfoot in doggy position, just absolutely going at it. Jesse Eisenberg, that was a real moose.
Unicorn of a movie.
I mean, this looks fire. Like this. This looks like
I haven't even heard any talking. So maybe it's just all just grunting. This looks fire. Always love me a good Sasquatch storyline.
I think I'm already in love with this movie.
So yeah, that's a top.
It doesn't seem like there's any dialogue. Seems like it's going to be a lot of grunting and physical comedy, yeah. Which seems like it's like nice, fresh. That seemed fresh. That's the best way I can. It's certified fresh, one might say. But that seemed like a different kind of movie, and I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking up what other things this dude's made. It looks like he's made like a few movies, but nothing really too big. This is the second project that that the dude's done around Sasquatch, so interesting.
he has a genre and he prefers to stick to
yeah.
it. We're gonna take a look at let's go Model House.
All right.
Model House is going to be in theaters and on demand on April 5th. Yeah. That's
this one I did watch, and it's...
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Not the Model House. Hell yeah.
I just that line delivery. Yeah. Okay. What's the...
Just wait. Just 180 degree flip.
Really?
This looks horrible.
This is not great. Like, that shot looked terrible. This looks terrible. That looks terrible. Why is the duct tape...
Just the most basic font, like? Too. Model House.
I liked that clip of her saying, don't forget to tag me, and then getting hit by the car. Like, even though it's... I feel like every... Like, that's just ripping off Mean Girls. Really? Like, let's be honest. I know, like, other movies have been hit by a car, but, like, in this one in particular, it's, like, a blonde girl all, like, dressed up going, don't forget to tag me, and then she gets hit by a car. Like, it, very much riding some Mean Girls coattails, and very much not a good movie. I am willing to bet a good amount that that is under 30%.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll take a rot on that. So... For those keeping track at home, I got two rots and a tot. Trent's got two tots and a rot. Let's see where he goes next.
Next, I'm going to go with Parachute.
Parachute. This was posted by the Rotten Tomatoes Indie YouTube channel.
Another directorial debut, pretty sure.
Okay. This is this is a tough subject matter. You don't really get a lot of eating disorder rom-coms. Oh.
Yeah.
Bautista. Uh-huh. That was like the post, like the end credit, like
trailer tag.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
So I think that movie Parachute looks really good.
Yeah, I think that looks good. Like, when I was seeing Gina Rodriguez and Kid Cudi, I was like, oh, is this good? Like, just because if you remember, Gina Rodriguez was in Players, which is a previous rot that we did. But she's a solid actress, so maybe I was just giving her a bad rap because I liked her in Jane the Virgin. Dave Bautista, obviously, like, I think he's the best wrestler turned actor, and... I'm now interested to see what Kid Cudi does in this movie, yeah, because he is listed as one of the starring, you know, cast members. So I'm probably going to give this one a watch. This looks super interesting.
Yeah, me too. I think it looks good. And yeah, I think the cast looks good.
So that's going to be a tot. So Trent has his three tots. Yep. So he's now looking for...
Two rots.
A rot. I'm gonna go ahead and take a look at the Samuel L. Jackson movie Damaged here. I don't know, caught my eye. I'm looking for tots right now, but if this looks like a rot, I'm not afraid to throw it in. This is just seeing, it's by Lionsgate. And who is directing this one? Let me just get a quick IMDb shout. It's directed by Terry McDowell, who really hasn't directed many movies.
He directed,
like, at all.
Yeah,
like,
a few episodes of The Expanse, it looked like, for Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And the 2011 movie Clue. But I guess this is a miniseries, not even a movie.
Yeah, no, and he did a TV movie called Anthony recently. It got decent reviews. All of his things get solid reviews, but this looks like his directorial debut. At least IMDb would have me to believe. So yeah. Let's go ahead and give it a... So Samuel L. Jackson, I feel like, had a bit more of a reputation of working on like good projects, I feel like, when I was growing up. Yeah. But now I feel like he'll do anything.
Yeah. Man just trying to get paid. And you got to respect it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No shame in the hustle. I say Conor McGregor.
This dude is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. He was the...
Not evil scientist, but he's just like scientist dude. He's like...
It kind of looks like a Lifetime original movie sometimes.
Yeah, but just with better directing. Or like with better... I guess it's just better actors. I don't know if it's necessarily better directing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is almost... Yeah, the shots of him running.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the font.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that dude kind of looks like Lewis Capaldi. It must be his brother or his son or something.
So it's a Chicago detective traveling to Scotland to link up with a Scottish detective following the resurgence of a serial killer whose crimes match an unsolved case that he looked into 5 years ago, previous in Chicago. Here's the thing. Murder, like, detective stuff, it's a very saturated medium. And to me, this just looked like a Criminal Minds episode starring Samuel L. Jackson, I'll be honest. I'm gonna give it a rot. Even though this isn't like, there's probably other movies that are on this that I could take as a rot that would be more surefire than this. But, you know, it's all about risking it. And I think this movie looks bland and it's going to come in at about like a 51%. So it's not going to be like the worst thing in the world, but it just looks like some stuff that's already been done a million times. Now, this is a 2-minute trailer, so this could come out and have so much depth behind it. But to me, it looks like a cast of, you know, actors that aren't quite there yet. And then they spent all their money on Samuel L. Jackson, who kind of seemed like he was phoning it in, even in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give this one a rot.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
So I'm
where are you at?
So am I. Does that mean I'm done with my rots?
Yeah,
because I took Sweet Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Dreams.
Yeah. So.
And then you got Civil War as your tot.
Yeah, I need two tots, you need two rots, so I know where you're going now. Where is that?
So I'm going to go with Bag of Lies.
Okay, all right. This is posted by the Movie Trailers Source YouTube channel.
Yep, getting all the YouTube trailer accounts on this episode.
Yeah, we hitting them. All right. What is happening? Oh my god!
Solve all of our problems. The Dare font. It's called Bag of Lies.
This guy looks like if Jake Gyllenhaal was a YouTuber.
Yeah, that's exactly who he looks like. A mix between like Casey Fry and Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
He's just like a slightly less attractive Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Maybe more than slightly, but
yeah, so
yeah,
looks horrible. Bag of Lies. What I don't know what else to say. I mean, it didn't explain what, like, I guess it could have just let out demons out of the bag. But
it's like I gotta shout out this interaction. This YouTube channel, there's 4 comments on this trailer. The one person says, I like it. Looks very different. Someone says, what an amazing trailer. Tommy, I presume, it's not his name. He says, Tommy, like. And then Better Get Dave had the same reaction I had. The editing of this is horrible. It seems like there should have been music, but there was none. But then the first guy that says it looks very different just tells him to shut up. Just shut up, bro.
That was the man who edited the trailer right there.
Yeah. Because, like, it's very true. If you guys look up this trailer, Bag of Lies 2024, the first, like, I'd say 20 to 25 seconds
so
are edited
jarring.
Edited like a TikTok with no music, and there's just like these vague, like, does not look great. I hope that's just a reflection on whatever trailer studio they outsourced this to, but I'm willing to bet it's not outsourced to a trailer studio, and I'm guessing the movie's going to be edited pretty close to that. I'm guessing that was the production of the movie that also made that trailer, so... Yeah, that seems like a pretty surefire rot. Obviously, not a lot of money behind that one, yeah. But I just didn't seem quite where it should be.
Yeah, a little bit of a cheat code taking that, but you know,
it's got a trailer.
Yeah,
they made a trailer, so now I gotta pick a tot, and it probably would have been smart to, you know, have an idea. I kind of wanted, and I'm also locked in with whatever one I pick. So, I'll go the Long Game. The Long Game feature starring Jay Hernandez, Dennis Quaid. Go ahead and give that a. This one was posted by IGN Movie Trailers. I like the colors so far.
Yeah. Nice costumes.
Immediately, like, you give me some bright colors, I'm in. And the night scenes looked well lit.
I feel like this is going to be good.
Yeah, it was like, I went on a little bit of a experience there. I wasn't talking. I was just like so enveloped in what was happening.
Yeah.
But also like just confused. Yo, you assumed right. That's a hard line. Yeah, this is going to do well. This is going to do really, really well.
Yeah. It's going to have, I feel like, some legs at the box office, and it'll probably be one of those movies that's in the, you know, the top of each week while it's open, I feel like, or like top 10 at the box office.
I could see this being a sneaky like top 15 box office for 2024. Just with like golf is kind of resurging in popularity. You're gonna get the Hispanic like clout there, and also just looks really, really well made.
Yeah.
And I'm with it. So I'm very happy I got that as a tie. I didn't really know going in, but I feel pretty confident in that one. Obviously anything could happen, but I'm with the Long Game for sure. And we're on to our final two picks, or our final pick each. So Trent, why don't you tell us what your last rot's going to be.
My last rot is going to be Strictly Confidential. So, new one.
All right.
Yeah, watched the trailer a little bit ago, and it looks pretty bad. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, this is one that I was thinking about for a rot just by the thumbnail.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one that looks like a soap opera. I forgot. One of the ones,
instantly.
One of the 10 ones that I saw on the release list that looked just shot like a soap opera.
It is very difficult to shoot in water. I wish people wouldn't try.
Yeah, anybody that's not named James Cameron doesn't deserve to be near water.
Oh,
literally just, yeah. I don't even want to pay attention to what's happening in the trailer because it's just
yeah,
bad.
No, I'm bored by the trailer. okay. Not the black. Yeah, not that.
Slightly black and white footage.
That's like so soap opera. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a movie that's being made. Lionsgate, really?
Yeah, no, that's what, in select theaters. That's wild.
But, like, did Lifetime tell them no? I don't.
Yeah. Beyond the Seduction.
How are there this many scenes in this movie?
Yeah. I don't know.
Obviously, I'm hoping that this movie is like a banger, because it seems like you have three pretty safe rots here. And this looks rough. So I think this is the only one of your rots that has a chance to be good. And we could just hope that this was a terrible trailer. But the way that this is shot is rough. One of the top comments being, how is this a Lionsgate film? And nepotism is crazy, because Lionsgate would never greenlight this for someone without connections. So who's the nepotism here?
Apparently the main actress's son directed this.
The main actress's son.
So Elizabeth Hurley's son.
So, like, is Elizabeth Hurley, like, have that type of clout?
Yeah.
I guess.
Enough for him to be called a Nepo baby.
Yeah, no.
It looks like she's just, like, a Hallmark. A Hallmark.
He's 21 years actress. Old. He's 21. He's never directed anything other than The Boy on the Beach. Which was a short. So I guess he just really likes going to beaches.
Yeah.
That's like his... that's his style, is beach movies. Where every fight scene takes place on a beach. Okay. Wow. All right.
Also wild last to one have to shoot me. Your mom. In to film your mom in the lead role of that movie. Kind of sus.
Yeah, like... There's a scene like where she's just making out with another woman. Like, who wrote this? Did he write his mom to make out with another woman? Like, that's a strange thing to do.
Yeah, very strange.
Like, I understand, but that's strange. I don't understand. I take that back. So there's a few here, and I'm really just going by thumbnails. And by thumbnails, the best one looks like... I'll go with Abigail. So Abigail is by Universal Pictures, and it seems like it's a horror movie, so I can go ahead and get through that. That is a concern. Absolutely. Horror movies generally aren't reviewed well. Same with comedies. Those are the two that it's a little rough. So I'm definitely worried, but so really all I'm looking for in this trailer, granted I have to pick. Oh God. I have to pick.
So this dude Todd, made regardless. Ready or Not. And
okay.
The last two Scream movies. Which Scream 6 has a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
In the 2022 Scream also has 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. All right. I really liked Ready or Not. And the fact that the Scream movies, which are, Giancarlo, you know, kind of shameless cash-ins.
Yeah, it's got Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, so you know. Can't really go wrong with him.
Okay. This gives a lot of Ready or Not vibes.
Yeah. I think it said the plot was like somebody's daughter gets kidnapped or something, but then the daughter turns out to like be somebody.
Yeah, after a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underwood world figure. They retreat to an isolated mansion. Oh, this actually looks fire. I'm with this. And it seems like they're a directing duo of Matt Bettinelli Alpen and Tyler Gillette. So seems like they're very Italian, and that comes across in the set design for sure.
It's shot well.
Yeah, it's shot well, and it's at least like a semi-new idea. Yeah. It's hard to make new ideas.
Got a decent cast, too. I can't remember where I've seen Angus Cloud in, but... like,
and this Euphoria. This girl, this actress, seems like she's absolutely eating
this. Oh, this is the dude who... this is the dude from Euphoria who died.
R.I.P.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Oh, Angus Cloud? Yeah. Yeah, he. I watched him in. It was a movie about a scratch off ticket.
Your lucky day.
Yeah, your lucky day. Yeah. I'll actually talk about that here in a sec, since we're gonna be talking Spangus Cloud, I guess. But that is our draft. I'll recap it as we go through here. I'll just go through the movies we think are going to be bad to start out. And that is Monkey Man. Oh, wait, no. I'm reading it wrong. Sorry, Red and Green. Monkey Man's good. Rebel Moon Part 2, Bag of Lies. And what was the last one you did?
Strictly Confidential.
Strictly Confidential. So Rebel Moon, Bag of Lies, Strictly Confidential. For Trent, and then for me, it is Model House, Damaged, and Sweet Dreams as my bad movies. And then our good movies, if you're looking for something to watch this April, I would recommend going with Monkey Man, Parachute, Sasquatch Sunset, Civil War, The Long Game, or Abigail. Those are going to be the six movies we're looking out for in the month of April. I'm going to try to watch all of my tots because I'm actually pretty interested in all of my tots. I probably won't watch my rots. I think the only one that I would watch would be Sweet Dreams. I'm not really interested in watching. Actually, I kind of want to watch Model House. I don't know. we'll see. But I do want to try to actually start watching a bit more of these movies so I can give a bit more insight onto why I was right or wrong. But this has been kind of a fun game to play. Yeah. So if you guys want to play along in the comments, why don't you just want to give us a movie that you're guaranteeing is going to be fresh and a movie you're guaranteeing is going to be rotten in the comments below. I would love to see what you guys have to say. And then I guess let's just run through some news and then get out of here. Yeah. Right.
Let's do it.
Cool. So, not sure how much this is going to get cut, but we are definitely running up the time on this one, as we expected with how big the movie slate it was for April. But that's why we expanded our pick slots. So before I start going through my news feed here, do you got anything for us?
I do not, actually.
All right, it's just, we're going through it then. Aaron Taylor Johnson has been offered the role of James Bond, taking over from Daniel Craig, The Sun reports. He's expected to sign the contract in the next few days. How do you feel about that?
Excited. I'm excited about it.
Are you much of a Bond? I've never watched a single Bond movie.
No, that was a lie. I've only watched one Bond movie, and it was the last Bond movie in the Daniel Craig series, and I enjoyed it.
Okay,
but I was personally hoping for like an Idris Elba James Bond. I think that would have been sick, but anybody who they put in that tux, they'll figure out something he'll to do with him. Yeah, he'll be fine. And would love to see Christopher Nolan do a Bond movie.
And my first reaction was I didn't know he was British, but yeah, he is from UK. So look at that.
There you go.
You learn someone's British every day. Jake Gyllenhaal addresses rumors of playing Batman in the DCU. Quote, "It would be an honor. Those types of things and those types of roles are classics." He was on the short list to play the role for the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
Yeah. Top comment there. Would have been awkward watching him make out with his sister in the Dark Knight.
That's true.
Yeah, that is factual. But I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be a solid vibe for the DCU Batman. But as we've kind of discussed whenever we bring up the DCU, is if they're wanting these guys to appear in movies, TV shows, video games, I don't think they're going to be going for these big names. So I would be surprised if it was Jake Gyllenhaal, but I also can see a world with a Batman, because the first movie is going to be Batman and Robin. I could see a world where like they kill off Batman and do like a Batman.
They could do a Nightwing as Batman arc. That would be sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see something like that. Just because like Batman's been done so many times at this point. Yeah. And James Gunn kind of seems like the type that would want to do like maybe a Miguel O'Hare. I don't know. We'll see. That kind of requires the whole universe to be set in the future, but I mean, you know, you could probably adapt something, but I like what you said about the Nightwing thing. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy will return as Thomas Shelby in Peaky Blinders movie.
I never watched Peaky Blinders. Yeah.
I haven't. I will, if there's a movie, we'll definitely be watching it. And I might just watch it anyways, but I've heard very good things, obviously.
Yeah.
Joker 2. Look at this. This is actual. I'm giving people what they're gonna see here. So for the people that stayed this late into it, you will know that Joker 2 will include at least 15 covers of, quote, very well-known songs. The budget has neared $200 million, which if you keep up with movie budgets, Joker 1 was $60
million. Yeah.
This is more expensive than Rebel Moon.
Yeah. They said no original songs, which is kind of crazy because you'd think that, you know, those movies want to try to get that original music nom, the original song nom, and especially having
not
Lady
just
Gaga,
the nom, but also the streaming number, like the streaming revenue that you could get from having a Lady Gaga song on like your record. It seems almost like just silly to not.
It really does
do original songs, but I mean, I really can't think of a justification. Honestly, yeah. I really can't.
What's
unless like?
Oh, what were you saying?
The only thing I think is that like there's no Lady Gaga in this universe, and there are going to be a bunch of like Lady Gaga songs that she's going to re-perform with Joker like
face.
Verses. Yeah, Joker face. Yeah, that'd be interesting. There was a leaked promo art, and you could show this if you want on there for Deadpool and Wolverine with Baby Pool. It's interesting, but my biggest takeaway is it just looks like an Invincible promo thing, mainly because of the colors. But yeah. Liam Neeson says he's too fucking old to play Qui-Gon Jinn in the live-action Star Wars project, which basically confirms he's going to be in the next live-action Star Wars project. This feels like right out of Disney PR 101, be a little quirky with it. Like, if you remember a little bit ago, Josh Brolin was like, oh, I don't even know if I'm in the next... like if I'm going to come back as Thanos. Like they always say these things and I feel like I'm able to pick up on this. We'll see if I'm right or wrong if Qui-Gon Jinn is in Star Wars 10. But I think he's going to be, because he was rumored to be in it, and him coming out and saying, oh, I'm too old, like, that's not an answer you would give if you hadn't had the conversation. You weren't trying to, like, dispel those rumors, because Disney wants it to be a surprise, and that's my thought.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm not going to be clapping, roaring when Qui-Gon Jinn shows up. I don't really care. It's Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, what did he ever do, ever?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Clone Wars. Was he in, like, the animated Clone Wars?
No, he died. I mean, he died before the Clone Wars happened.
Oh, right.
But he did show up. Yeah, no. He showed up. I guess he did show up for one episode voiced by Liam Neeson in the Clone Wars as a ghost. And then he did show up in Obi-Wan at the very end for 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be back, Star Wars 10.
Yeah.
Tom Holland's Peter Parker persona. Look at that, the alliteration there. Peter Parker persona, hopefully that doesn't destroy my microphone, will reportedly fade away in the MCU, leaving only Spider-Man behind. With Peter losing or detaching from loved ones, his identity as Spider-Man becomes his sole focus, overshadowing his Peter Parker persona, which gradually fades into obscurity.
I mean, So that's interesting, because Marvel's going to be wanting Zendaya back.
Yeah. Marvel's going to be wanting Zendaya back, and it feels like it'd be very strange to make a movie without Ned. Maybe for the first half of the movie, I could see that being the plot.
Yeah.
But I think almost what this is telling me, if this is a leak from the writer's room or a leak from anyone credible, what this is telling me is the story is going to be about him getting his Peter Parker persona back.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Spider-Man 4 Peter Parker persona. That'll be the subtitle.
Yeah.
That's... there was a leaked scene for Joker. We don't really play leaked scenes here, but I will describe it for everyone. It is Lady Gaga on the... Oh, wait, that is a spoiler. I won't say that. Pirates of the Caribbean producer confirms next movie will be a quote-unquote reboot, which makes sense, as it likely will not have Johnny Depp. And if it does have Johnny Depp, it is going to be in a highly reduced role. They're starting over with a new pirate. I forget what her name was, but it's going to be set in the same universe, which I think it's a cool universe. I think this makes sense to do. I think the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise absolutely can survive without Johnny Depp, but this first movie is so, so important. So it's good to kind of get the press out there that, hey, this is not a sequel. We're rebooting the franchise. I imagine soft reboot, not like fully doing it again type of thing.
Yeah.
Top Gun 3 already has a story. Quote, Tom Cruise said he really liked it, so we're developing it. So, yeah, that's something. And Anthony Mackie says that there's not much creative freedom in the MCU. Quote, that's the hard thing about the Marvel Universe. It's like, you can't really go outside of the lines of these comic books.
Yep. The tables have turned.
Yeah. I don't think he's necessarily, like, at least that quote doesn't sound like he's necessarily criticizing the MCU, more he's just criticizing adaptations in general.
Yeah.
And, like, having to be 100% faithful, which is something I've always pushed back on, like disliking, like, I don't think we need to follow the comics. I just don't think there's a point. I think that those stories can exist on their own, and you could adapt something with changing it, and I don't think that's disrespectful. Comic books have been rebooted a million times. Like, I don't think that it's an issue to do something different.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, Thunderbolts is happening. There was behind the scenes video of Thunderbolts. It's happening. It's gonna be a movie. Harrison Ford will be alive for it, and he'll be the reddest Hulk you've ever seen.
Yeah, hopefully. And Anthony Mackie also said that having Sebastian Stan not on the set of Captain America feels weird because him and Bucky are always in scenes together.
I'm worried about that movie. I'm worried about that movie a lot. Yeah. I worry about the identity of it, but I guess we'll see. They got talent there. They got money there. No excuses. So just make a good movie. It can't be that hard, right?
Yep.
But yep.
Can't be that hard.
I think that's can't be. But I think that's going to be our show as we didn't go too far over here. But I appreciate everyone for listening along. And hopefully we gave you a good idea of what's coming in April.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. And go watch some April movies.
Good luck on your Easter egg hunts and stay safe out there.
Peace. Deuces.